Hello everybody, it's George from ISO. Welcome back to my channel. It's just over a year since Yevgeny Prigozhin's abortive coup in Russia. Isn't it a coup the right terminology? Well, he said it was a march for justice. So Yevgeny Prigozhin was the founder and owner of Wagner Private Military Company. And remember, up until 2023, he had lied and lied for about 9 years, denying he had any connection whatsoever with Wagner, until he said, "I am the head of Wagner." So he was a St. Petersburg small-time hoodlum burglar who spent 10 years in prison at the end of the Soviet era. And conditions in prison there were harsh, but came out to run a hot dog stand, but managed to turn that into a catering company, had the contract to supply all the schools in St. Petersburg and so on, became a multi-millionaire, a crony of Putin, the kind of Putin, guy Putin likes, street fighter like himself, with a street fighter's aptitude for sizing up a possible adversary. And Putin liked him as he could get stuff done. Anyway, so from 2014, Wagner was instrumental in helping Russia fight its unofficial war in the Donbass. And indeed, abroad in the Central African Republic, in Mali, Niger, Libya, Syria, Mozambique, the Central African Republic, particularly Africa, where they had their military footprint. And then he was crucial in Russia's war in Ukraine. But over a year after the war began, he got fed up. The Battle of Bakhmut, he'd been saying that they hadn't been supplied with a sufficiency of ammunition. A lot of the prison recruits, people had their arms twisted, sometimes literally into joining, and they were simply used as cannon fodder. Their lives were frittered away in diversion attacks, given a fortnight's training, if that, inadequate weapons that didn't even fire, inadequate clothing, food, everything, no medical care. Some of these guys could have been saved when they were wounded, but they just weren't. And they were to launch diversionary attacks before the professional troops went in with the real attacks to identify Ukrainian positions and so on. But even Prigozhin, a man who was notoriously heartless and cruel, even he was horrified by the sheer scale of the waste of human life, of these lives being thrown away. And that's why he published a video lacerating Valery Gerasimov, the Russian army chief of staff, and indeed the defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, and demanded they both be sacked. And that was a couple of months before this went ahead. They did eventually win the Battle of Bakhmut, but the human cost was clearly not worth it. So he was not a man who was known for a sentimentality, Prigozhin, known for being horrifically sadistic, and boasted how when a deserter was caught, he'd been beaten to death with a hammer, and indeed sent a hammer to the European Union Parliament to say, "And this is what we're like." So that's a measure of the man. But anyway, he led his troops across the border back into Russia, seizing a southern city, and then going up towards Voronezh. The March for Justice, obviously Russian Air Force, the Air Force set against them, planes and helicopters, they were shot down, 7 aircraft shot down by Prigozhin's forces. Because within Wagner, they had guys who'd had at least 10 years experience, usually the Russian army, sometimes Belarus and occasionally Serbian, even other armies. They were the professionals, and then the people they regard as just runts, prison recruits who might be older, not very physically fit, whatever. And their lives were not valued at all. They could just be thrown away. They were just to stop a bullet for Prigozhin. But he did care about his boys, as you see them, professional troops. Okay, they were in very dangerous situations, but they would be well paid. And he didn't want them to die for nothing. And so Putin was not heeding his calls to dismiss these two people. And the fascinating thing is you see when they cross the border, there are Russian police cars there, and the police are standing by. They're not intervening. And the Russian army units, which whilst they didn't mutiny, did nothing to stop it. And some of the Russian army top brass were aware of this, like Surovikin. The other thing is, there are other Russian mercenary groups like Redut. Wagner's just the largest, most notorious of them. So various Russian generals had business interests in these. And you could be in the army for 20 years, 30 years, go off and join a mercenary unit, whatever. We're playing both sides, because corruption is endemic in Russia in the 1990s. And even generals didn't get paid for 6 months sometimes. And I'm guessing that's when the CIA probably recruited a lot of them as agents. But so stealing from the state became a way of life. And then soldiers, ordinary soldiers, weren't paid or even fed. Sometimes they're often hired out by their officers as slaves, even as rent boys, I've heard. Now, Putin came in and said, we can't be doing this. So it's been reduced a lot. There is corruption still, there's peculation and bribe taking, but it has to be discreet. But nevertheless, Putin claims to have busted some of it. Well, apparently the FSB and the investigation committee, as in that's like criminal investigation department, they've been aware of some of this for 10 years, but only moved against it now, partly because some people have political protection of this neo-feudal system. But it's staggering that Prigozhin got to Voronezh, only 2 hours drive from the ring road around Moscow. And this communication with Lukashenko, who was the president of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, acted as an intermediary. Some would say he wasn't really mediating. He's passing on direct messages from Putin to avoid humiliating himself. The word on the street is that Putin fled from Moscow, flew to one of his palaces somewhere else. I don't know, the Gulf of Finland, Altai, somewhere in Siberia, something like that, where he's got identical offices, a number of palaces, so you can never tell where he is if he makes a broadcast like that. I don't know whether it's true or not, whether he fled or not, but Putin is a man who's known to lack all physical courage, which is why he's so keen to pose as a hard man doing judo and all that. And when he goes to Ukraine, he'll go like 100 kilometers from the front for a few minutes and then be out of there. So he certainly doesn't put his life on the line. He's just willing to let teenagers get killed, not him, nor any of his cronies' children. Prigozhin made a fatal mistake. He trusted Putin. He could go to Belarus with several thousand soldiers, stay safe there. And I knew a well-connected Ukrainian businessman who supposedly is fairly sympathetic to Russia. And he said he thought, no, Prigozhin would be safe. He'd have a lot of soldiers around him. But I mean, I was saying at the time, the thing from Prigozhin is to go to another country, not that's semi-Russian controlled like Belarus, not a Western one, because then you'd be on trial for crimes against humanity. A country that may be genuinely independent, like the UAE or something, that Russia doesn't want to offend by assassinating you, that'd be safe. And he stayed for 2 months. He thought it was safe. He invited some forum meeting African leaders. But 2 months of the day, he launches a abortive coup. He was in that internal flight from Moscow to St. Petersburg, which blew up, and he and his cronies died. Putin was behind that. And no, I don't have proof positive, but you would need to be spectacularly stupid not to realize that Putin was behind it. But that is Prigozhin. So Putin seems secure. There are rather few desertions. There doesn't seem to be any rumbling about a mutiny or anything like that. Russian recruitment is working because at this rate, they're losing about 200,000 men a year, killed and wounded. All right, some of the wounded are only mildly wounded. After a few weeks, can go back to the battlefront. They're recruiting way more than that. You look at boys who turn 18, that's about 500,000 a year. So if they recruit even half of that, they're more than replacing the losses. And of course, they're older guys who volunteer. They don't have a formal draft as such. They're particularly managing to do this in ethnic minority regions, in distant, inhospitable, poverty-stricken regions where some golden hello is tempting. But they are getting fewer recruits coming forward because those who are minded to join have already joined. And they realize this war is not going to end. You sign up. 2.5 years later, some people are still not out. There's no end in sight. This, when the earth, you're going to be demobilized. And General Ivanov, one of those who was dismissed, was saying, who was all for the war, Putinite in that sense, but said, come on, we've got to be fair. These guys have to have some leave. Some of them have been on the front line for 2 years, not one day off to go back and see their wives and children. That's not fair. And some of the prisoner recruits been serving a sentence for murder. They did 6 months at the battlefront if they survived, which they seldom did. They're free. And it's not fair that an honest man who volunteered should be in a worse situation than they are. But Putin seems to be more secure because of these purges. But he did what actually Prigozhin wanted to do. 11 months later, he did remove Shoigu as defense minister, replaced him. Belousov's the new one. But General Valery Gerasimov is still there. So Putin, does he have confidence in him? But a number of his underlings have been removed. And in Russia, that's usually prefatory to the big man himself being taken down. That goes way back to Stalinist times. So Putin does seem to be secure. And they say the real winner of this is the FSB. That's the Internal Intelligence Agency, which has got its tentacles everywhere, even though it's a FSB screw up more than anything else. Although it's domestic, it's also responsible for former Soviet countries, in as much as Russia doesn't regard them as being properly independent. So the FSB, they've obviously got their armed wing as well, and they guaranteed Putin that this is going to be a cakewalk. It'd be little more than a victory parade. to, and they were obviously dead wrong. Here we are. They completely misread the Ukrainian psychology. Indeed, there was one Russian army truck that the Ukrainians took in the first couple of weeks of the war. They looked inside. What was this inside the truck? Ammunition? Food? No. It was dress uniforms. They were bringing them for their anticipated victory parade in Kiev. Wow. You thought they should have had other priorities. So at the moment, Putin does seem secure. And although the economy is slowing down, it is still growing. Inflation's not too bad. And sanctions, they're biting a bit. They're rather less effective than anybody forecast. They're being tightened. So they seem to be able to keep this going for up to 3 years. There isn't popular discontent on the streets. There are no demonstrations now. The opposition, they're all in prison. Top ones are dead, or they fled the country. So he's got total control of the media. He's got a stranglehold on everything. But you see how Russia is really diminished on the world stage. He's not dining on the top table, to use that Naft Blairite phrase. He likes to see Russia as having parity with the United States. But there they are having to be a supplicant to North Korea, whom Russia wouldn't have given the time of day to a few years ago, and indeed visiting Vietnam. So how he has been humbled, having to lower himself to that. Goodness. So I think Putin actually is quite secure for the next while, maybe 3 years or so. The cost of the war might be so high economically as well as in human lives. Would people in the regime try and push him out? I mean, I said at the beginning of the war, it's not going to be mass demonstrations. It had to be someone in the regime who would take him out. But there doesn't seem to be any indication of that at the moment. And I suppose there were some rumors in the run-up to what Prigozhin was doing. Another problem is the FSB didn't see it coming, didn't nip it in the bud. And they should have been able to prevent this. Although some people say it was sort of preponed because the FSB got some sort of inkling of it. But they didn't stop it, they didn't arrest it, they didn't assassinate him until it actually happened. Was Prigozhin's mistake not to go all the way to Moscow? Would he negotiate a better deal? I don't know if anything they would have been able to topple Putin, but maybe able to gain more concessions. Of course, we could be wrong. At that point, maybe some of the generals would have thrown their lot in with Prigozhin. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. But I have observed elsewhere that ever there's been sort of an attempted revolution in Russia, that regime hasn't survived long. Survived, let me see, like another 12 years at most, going back to the 1905 revolution. But I think rather less than that in this case. Goodbye, everyone. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.